computer. Happy Friday, everybody. TGIF. Hopefully you have a good Friday planned. We got a Facebook question from Sarah, and I did my best to highlight it, but you also thought maybe you can summarize it. And Sarah can join us via chat, but she can't join us on the audio or the video. So what do you want me to do?
Well, I'll just kind of summarize it a little bit.
Okay.
Sarah had said that she was hoping to maybe cut down on her work a little bit because she's feeling tired and overwhelmed, young kids. And she had talked to her husband about it a few times in different ways. One time when they were on a date, and he really wasn't interested in talking about it because they were on a date. And then I think she said she brought it up again. Her husband is a police officer. He works nights. You know, they're busy parents. They both have a lot of responsibility. But one thing that Sarah said is that for her own mental wellness, she thinks it would be better for her to go down to 4 days a week. And it would cut back, like money would be part of that. Like she would, you know, lose that money, that income for that day, but that she felt like they could manage that. But her husband wasn't sure that was a good idea. So here's an analogy I heard this morning that was kind of helpful, is that it's really, Sarah, it's really not about your husband. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter what he says. That's not what I'm saying. But really, there has to be a decision in you of where you are in your own mental wellness, physical wellness, and what you think is possible for you. Because he needs to understand where you are right now. And I think one of the things we do when we have a partnership is we often float ideas out there and hope that the person completely understands, agrees, and then gives us permission to do what we're saying we want to do. And we seek the permission almost like we're a child in the situation. And if someone isn't super excited about it, if our partner isn't super excited, then we feel bad and we wish they understood us better. And we feel like they're disappointing us or we're disappointing them. And there's almost like this, and this is the analogy I heard this morning. It was an old Dear Sugar podcast. And this woman was talking about how when you're doing something for the first time that's difficult, it's like walking out into the ocean. And you know how when you first walk out into the ocean, it's like super cold and uncomfortable. And you're like, whoa, this is really cold. And in that moment, you have a decision, right? You either get out and stop doing what you're doing, which would be the equivalent of saying, I'm never going to do that again. That's too cold. Or you keep going and you say, I'm going to keep going. It's cold. But the further I get, the farther down I get, the warmer I'm going to get, the more comfortable I will get. And this is going to be a good experience to be in the ocean. And that this is where I've always wanted to be. This is why I've wandered out into the ocean in the first place. And when it first hit me, it was cold and uncomfortable. And now it's better. My point in that analogy is, I think for Sarah, for anybody who's having a hard time telling someone what they need, it is initially like hitting cold water when you say something. There are things I still say to Todd, and he's like, like as an example, I teach at two universities, and this spring has been crazy as far as teaching, and one of the universities, I'm like, I got to give one up. Like, I can't do this again next spring because I'm teaching all week long plus everything else. And Todd, of course, looks at it through the lens of finances, and he's like, choose the one that pays you more money. That's not what I want. But that was his initial suggestion, which made me think, you don't understand me.
I asked. Didn't say do the one that's more money.
You know what? I'm kind of using this in a short version. Like Todd I have gone into the cold water so many times. Todd, what I mean is that I knew that he would understand because I had to make the decision. This is all on me.
Right. No. And I think what you're saying, first of all, I totally hear that. And I like the ocean metaphor because we all can relate to going into cold water and then you realize you're in it.
Like it hurts initially, right?
Yeah. At the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, and the fact that you're kind of owning your piece, like it would have been harder for me, and hopefully our experience will relate to some of you all that are dealing with this with your partners. If Kathy would have been like, I don't know what to do. And
what do you think? Do you agree?
And all that. Instead, she basically ended up being, this is what I'm doing. And for me, because I love her, I'd be like, okay, then there's no room for me to try to talk you out of it or convince you out of it, because you're standing in your warrior. And that's the language I like to use because I work with guys and we talk about archetypes, but you're basically owning it. And what we want to do for Sarah is empower her with love.
Right.
Doesn't mean you get empowered and say, you know what? Screw you, husband. No. I'm doing it. You got to do it with love, but you want to own your peace a little bit more, be more confident. And if 4 days is better for this family system, you got to work 4 days and you might have to make certain sacrifices and have whatever, one less vacation day or whatever it is. You're going to have to make some sacrifices to do it. But the money is secondary to everything.
To your mental wellness.
Right.
I'm telling you guys, sometimes, you know, my clients I work with, they will get themselves to a point of where their physical wellness is diminished. Mm-hmm. Like either they get sick or they get a diagnosis or they have chronic migraines. That was my history. You know, like I would never stop until I got a migraine and then I'd be like, oh, now I can stop. Now that I'm physically incapacitated, I can stop. But your mental wellness is talking to you all the time. Like if you are getting to a point where you're angry with someone or chronically, you know, fatigued or you're impatient with your kids or you're losing your mind in whatever way, that mental wellness, that's like, you know, Oprah always talks about that you get whispers in your life and then all of a sudden it's like something hits you in the face and all of a sudden a brick hits you on the head and then a wall falls over you. Like take the whisper. Like if you know that you need to shift something, then work toward it. Now, what I would say, again, like Todd said, that doesn't mean you walk in and say, I'm doing it. I don't care what you say. You say, listen, I know I need this for me. So how can we do this? Maybe he'll say, can you give me another couple months to kind of save what we've been earning? And then we'll work toward you going down to 4 days a week. See, there's always a compromise in there of like, how do we do this together? This isn't about we come to our partner and demand. We don't say you're going to do this or else. You say, I know I need this. How are we going to do it?
It's not what you say. It's how you say it. And the what you say is going to be important, but it's so much less important than how it comes out. So, you know, as parents and we're all in relationships, our default is like, well, what do I say to my husband or what do I say to my kids when I do when they do this and how do I punish them or how do I support them or challenge them? The what you do is so much less significant than most of us realize.
Or the words you use.
The words you use. But even like what you say is, so the what would be what words you use. The how you say it is from what energy are you doing it. And if you're in a defeated victim or villain type of energy and you're bringing this up to your kid or your husband, it's probably going to go sideways. So this is where your own work has to take precedent. What I mean by that is, are you filling your own cup? Can you get yourself that, whatever, 2 minutes of meditation in the morning to center yourself or make sure that you're exercising or eating healthy or just doing something to fill your own cup? So, because if you're exhausted going into it, what is the likelihood of you being able to look at this with a sense of curiosity and openness?
Well, and I know what Sarah would say is I don't have time to fill my own cup, to do all those things you're saying. And that in itself is your reason for needing the day off. Do you see what I mean? Like Todd is saying, do that first. And I'm saying, if you are saying to us, you don't have time for that, that's a problem. Now, one of the things that I said a lot at my pre-conference workshop, and I'm going to say it again to all of you, and it sounds really morbid and scary, but just listen to me. You have a very short life. You're here for a very short time. You're going to die someday. And I don't know when that's going to be. And I hope it's when you're 100. But when we live our lives in such a way that we're just like mulling through and thinking there's going to be a day when everything works out, that is not, you have to choose it. And that doesn't mean you're going to say right now everything's going to be perfect. It means you have to realize when something is not working and when you're in pain and when you are, your mental stability is off. And you have to say, this is my life and I need to shift something. And it may be initially slow and I may need to ask for help and I may need a community or I may need to just sit on this awareness for a while. You know, like sometimes I'll have a realization. I'll be like, I'm just going to put that on the back burner because that's a little too painful to look at right now. But then I don't hide it though. It's like, I got to address it eventually.
So I do want to say, so Sarah chatted in the chat box. Okay. She says, I do love this analogy. I think that I'm extra worried because I was forced to quit my job 6 years ago and it was extremely uncomfortable for 2 years. So what I get out of that is, you know, I feel like the universe is once again, like I don't know if she fully processed that discomfort from 6 years ago and the universe is allowing her to work on this yet again. So
I don't understand that response, that if she quit.
She quit her job
6 years ago.
6 years ago, and it was extremely uncomfortable for 2 years. But so she's worried about going from 5 days to 4 days. Am I going to be extremely uncomfortable yet again?
Yes, but for different reasons.
And my thing is that the universe gave you this opportunity to kind of like, are you still worthy if you quit your job and you have less money? Are you still going to be worthy if you go from 5 days to 4 days? And the universe is going to, you kind of, like you said, you can either get slapped in the face with a lesson, or it can just kind of be whispered to you. This 5 to 4 is a whisper. And I'm like, this is your opportunity to kind of deal with it from a little bit differently than she did last
time. Yeah. Like find a comfort in the discomfort. Do you guys ever have the situation where you like have a whole Sunday off or something and you're uncomfortable with the fact that you can do anything you want to do? We can be uncomfortable in anything, meaning we can be like some yesterday I got home. I taught all day. I got home by like 4 and I was like, okay, I was like uncomfortable with what I do with my time. Do I go make smoothies for tomorrow? Do I go clean? Do I go do this? Do I get back on my computer? And I like sat in a discomfort of having choice. My point of saying that is, do you see how we can be uncomfortable in any situation when we have a negative one? And we have to have a moment of realizing that. And then like have, I tried to have a sense of humor about it with myself. Like I finally sat down and read Abby's book. That's what I decided to do. Abby's book came out this week. So I read it. And that's what I chose. Then I was like, oh, I felt like, but I could have done a million other things. I could have been more productive. I could have, but you know what? It's a way of things.
Yeah. So. And this week's podcast, Essentialism, for those of you guys who haven't had an opportunity to listen to it, we talked a little bit about this. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on just because we have quite a few people on the call today. We're going to go to Melanie first. Hold on to your choppers. Come on, baby.
Unmute
me.
Maybe Melanie can do it from her.
Oh, there we go.
There it is.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Sorry. Hi.
What if we were calling?
So I had a couple of questions. One of them was related to this topic, and Kathy, you just kind of touched on it right at the end there. More specifically with, and I think I just texted or just sent a message. I feel that way every single time I have any free moment. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly uncomfortable to the point where I, get lost in it. Mm. And then it spills out to everyone who's around me. But my more specific question with the essentialism aspect. I don't think I was ever taught that. I know I was never taught that. It was always, you need to be productive. You need to be working towards something. My question though is, I'm starting to put that into practice now. However, how do you know how, when it conflicts with your kids' priority? So for example, the play aspect that you talked about at the end of your podcast, I just finished listening to it today. I don't know how to play. I was never taught. I was never played with. It was always, you know, get it done, move to the next goal. I don't want that for my children. My husband, like Todd, is better at it. But I find that I don't want him to be the one. I want to be able to do that. But now I'm noticing that when I do have that time and I want, and I feel that I need to put that towards myself, it's also when I have that time with them. So, and then there's this huge amount of guilt and this sense of, I should be putting that need for them so I can teach them this. Mm. So I don't know really where to go with that.
Okay. So, a few things. One is, so you want to play, right?
Yeah. And now granted, I have 3 boys. So the way that I want to play is probably different than most of the ways that they would want
to
play.
No, but I need to distinguish, like when I played on Sunday night, I played pickleball with my buddy and my daughters were nowhere to be found. Are you talking about playing with your kids? Are you talking about playing?
Well, that's the conflict. Okay. Like for me, my play is I would sit down and read a book if I could read it cover to, I mean, yeah.
Right.
And there are times where I do want to play with them. Like I like to be active, but more when, probably like when they're older and we can do those types of things. Like I forced myself to play basketball with my son the other day and it was great. But I was surprised he let me do it because he's 12 and we were in the middle of, you know, everyone was riding their bikes by and I thought he would, you know, so it, that doesn't happen very often. And the little ones, I just feel like I don't know.
Well, I don't think there's an answer. I don't think it's black or white. I think the answer is obviously both. There's going to be times when you have to either meet the needs of your kids, whether it's playful needs or some other needs, and you're not going to be able to read that book or you're not going to be able to take that walk. But there's other times where if all you're doing is spending time for the benefit of your sons, then that's out of balance too. So
How do I know the difference though? Like, how do I know which is which? Cause I get really stuck in the guilt.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I think that you should not try to teach them how to play. I think that's part of the problem is you've got this in your head that you're going to teach them how to play. I think what you need to do instead is just show up as yourself and stop trying to be a example. Don't be, and again, I don't want to use the word inauthentic because I'm not saying you're being inauthentic. What I'm saying is when your son is playing basketball, why don't you go steal the basketball from him for a minute or two and try and shoot it just for the hell of it without thinking to yourself, I'm going to go play now. I'm going to go show him how I'm fun. Why don't you just shoot it and be funny and then sit down and read your book and then say, I want to shoot it again in 5 minutes. Or like be yourself instead of I need to teach them how to play. Cause that idea is where your guilt comes from. That brain process is why you feel bad. If you were just out there watching or you were by the window and you were reading a book and then you were reading it, enjoying it. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to go out there for a second and just kind of, or sit on a, you know, like, our basketball hoop is behind our house too. You know, I can just sit on the deck and watch and ask questions while my girls are shooting hoops. Like I don't have to be other than what I am to support their play. And you don't have to be other than what you are to demonstrate what play means to you. Like the conflict you're having is I feel like I need to be something different than what I am. Which one do I do? And you don't have to, like, you get to do both. And like, my thing is that what I'm saying to you is it is important to interact with your kids. So figure out a way to do that in a way that is you.
Right. So Kathy's example of that is we've talked about on the Zen Talks, but playing people like the little figurines that you get at Disney World with the little dollhouse and everything. That was Kathy's nightmare. And there was a time in your early career of being a mom, you're like, well, my kids want to play this. And so I have to. And then you realized what?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been so long like that. I didn't play people, but that's my point is that you got to figure out what you like to do with your kids. I like to read books with my kids. I like to chat with them. When they were really little, I like to help them in the bath. I like to play music with my kids in the car. I like to talk to them about their lives. And that's me. I don't play board games. I don't, I do sports occasionally with them, but not very often. I like to go for walks. I like to drink coffee and talk to them. Like that's me. And you know what? Like, I don't think
it's a little boring,
but it isn't because one of my daughters is just like me and I am giving her permission to be herself. My daughter, JC, teaches me about her sport, York lacrosse, everybody. And I wear a York lacrosse sweatshirt and I support her and I go to the games and I drink coffee.
Gee, that's more fun.
Like I don't feel like, I feel like me being anything other than what I am is teaching them to be other than what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know I'm making this sound so simple, like, oh, I got this all figured out. I of course have days where I'm like, all right, I'll go do whatever, you know, like sometimes Todd's birthday is coming up and he's going to make me play board games all day.
Once a year, we're going to play Cashflow and then we're going to play Desert Storm and we're going to get Barnaby's and Hot Fudge Sundae.
Yeah. He's going to give me pizza so I can tolerate all of the discomfort of board games, but my children know about me. Like there is no secret of that. I don't think I'm fun. I think I'm really fun.
Sweetie, what about this?
I'm really good at this game.
We got this for Christmas from Santa Claus, and it's called the Best of TV and Movies. It's actually played with a board, so it's technically a board game. Kathy can't stand board games, but this one she can. So we figured out how to get the family to play, because if I want to play Monopoly or Life or something, she cannot run fast enough away from the table. But with this bad boy, the Best of TVs and Movies, she's in.
I like to win that.
So game. I think the moral of the story is, before we go to Judy, is figure out stuff
that you like.
That you like. And sometimes there's going to be stuff you like that your kids hate. But there's also going to be times there's stuff that you like that your kids are like, oh, that's not such a bad idea.
Instead of thinking about how can I make my kids learn how to play, why don't you wake up every day and say, how can I get to know my kids better and have them get to know me better? It's a different way of viewing parenting. How can I be in relationship with my kids where I understand them and they understand me, instead of how do I get my kids to learn this?
There's a bunch of good ideas on the chat, and I'm not going to read them all, but just look at the chat. And I actually saved the chat and put it in the show notes of the podcast. But, you know, Helen says if you're in one of those positions where you can't stay and play in this game, put a timer on it.
That sure, way I did. Yeah, I've done that.
You drop the hammer. Timer goes off. Mom or dad are bailing and going to do something else. And then your kid is going to be disappointed. And guess what? That's okay.
Yeah.
Our kids are supposed to get disappointed sometimes.
Well, and if they know that you are I'm thinking of circumstances right now, like where I've done that. I've set the timer and been like, I'm going to play this. And then the timer's gone off and they've been like, 5 more minutes. I'm like, okay, 5 more. Like, it's all about the moment rather about a plan ahead of time. Like, this is the kind of thing where it's like, you know, I really prefer spending time with my kids in a way that's fun rather than in a way where when they go to bed, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad they're away from me because everything I was doing was stuff I don't want to do.
But what about the new game that I just came up with for Skylar before we go to bed? I take a rubber band and I shoot it at the wall, and then it has to bounce off the wall into the big bowl, the throw up bowl that she had in her room because she threw up last week, or she was going to. So that's a new game. So if anybody's looking for new games, rubber band, throw up ball, hit it against the wall.
Throw up bowl.
Throw up bowl, and then it has to land in there, and then you get a point.
We call it throw up bowl.
It's fun. You could play for hours. Anyways, all right, we're going to Judy. hopefully that helps a little, Melanie. All right. Judy, you there?
Yes. Hi.
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 It's funny how everything comes together. So my question is about, it relates to what we talked about, but from a different perspective.
Okay.
So I've figured out that I'm struggling with, low self-esteem. And I guess we all have issues to work on. And I do work with a therapist on my issues, but it does come out. And you mentioned just now before that when it comes out as being annoyed with the kids or stressed or stuff like that. So I think it's like, I know I have to work on it, and I am trying to, and like self-work is being done, but it's slow. I guess my question is more about how to talk to the kids that, you know, some days I'm not at my top, and it's my issue. And I know you touched on it many different times, but it's just more of the wording that I don't want them to take my issues on themselves. I guess we tend to, when somebody is stressed or being more rejective than usual, then they might think it's them.
Right. How old are your kids, Judy?
Like yours. My oldest one is almost 16, then 14 and 11. So the same age.
Because they are old enough, I would, with my girls, I say things like, do you guys ever feel like, and I kind of open it up to them, like when I'm having a bad day, I will say, do you guys ever have a day where you wake up and then you get a bad email and then you get a blah, 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 and then you're just overwhelmed by it? And they're like, yeah. And then I'm like, well, I'm having one of those days. And I usually laugh, or I'm like, so today is not the right day to ask me if you can have money or anything like that. You know, like I kind of try and demonstrate to them that there are, and again, I know you're talking about something that may feel more chronic, which is my self-esteem feels low, and sometimes I take it out on them. You don't need to tell them every day myself as, you know, you don't need to explain every day, but occasionally if you do have a reaction to them, the as soon as you can, if it be a minute afterwards or the next day or that night, to remind them, say, you know, when I was impatient with you, that is totally mine. Like I am impatient with you because I'm not that full. Like I don't have as much to give right this minute. Like, you know, and again, like Todd said before, don't worry about having exact right words. You know, it's more about the energy. If you're honest, if you're like, I yelled at you this morning and I was impatient and that's mine, that they, kids feel when we're putting on a show. And if we're like, I'm going to say the exact right words and it'll never happen again. And they're like, okay, mom. But if you come in with some sense of vulnerability, not a dumping of your feelings, but a sense of truthfulness of like, this morning I was impatient and I didn't do that well. They'll be like, all right. Like they'll get it.
Yeah. I would, I'm trying not to make light of your issue, Judy, but it just made me think. Kathy and I were watching the movie Parenthood last night, and there's a part where one of the moms is like screaming at her daughter, and she said, I have no life.
I have no life.
And my mom used to say that to me all the time.
I know.
And talk about, I'm still trying to kind of move that block from my energy system, because I remember like she was saying that because she married a guy who wasn't the nicest guy in the world, my dad, but I took it as like I was doing something wrong.
Of course. So, well, when a parent says to you, I have no life because of you.
Right.
Like, you know, and again, even that mom in that moment saying something like that, or your mom can come back and say, there is no other life I want but mm-hmm. this with you. But sometimes it gets tough.
Right.
Like, you know, one of the things, I was just reading something, and I'm trying to think what it was. I've read like 3 books. It was something about the love we have for our kids and what a weird love it is, because it is the most paradoxical kind of love. Like I even remember when I had JC and I was so struggling and I was like, my life is over. It literally is when you have a child, right? That life is over, a new one begins. And I was grieving that. And I absolutely loved her and was so afraid to put her in a car because I thought something would happen to her. And I was so angry because she kept crying. And I just was like, this is the most paradoxical kind of love I've ever experienced. You know, like it's not a romantic love. It's like I love you. I'm grieving. You're driving me crazy. You're everything to me. It's a really, and I say that because if you feel that sometimes, if you're like torn, like this is really hard and I'm not good at it. Yeah. We all feel that way where we're like, you know, sometimes I just want to go to Vegas tomorrow.
Yeah.
You want to go to Vegas tomorrow?
No, we're going in June.
Sometimes I do. And I'm like, it'd be fine. They'll be fine. JC 16, they'll be fine. But then obviously I wouldn't do that, but the feeling is okay. We don't have to feel guilty about that. I love my, you know, I know, Judy, that's a little separate, but sometimes you're going to snap at them and sometimes they do annoy you and sometimes they do say those things and you go back and forth. But there is nobody else I would rather work out all these issues with than my daughters and Todd. There's nobody else. And when you and your own self-esteem, part of the reason it's at the surface is because of your relationships and your family. It's all purposeful. And you know, you just don't worry so much about the words and just show up as Judy and be honest, but also know that it's not, and I know you know this, but it's not their responsibility to help you or fix you. That's not your children's job. They should not be involved in your wellness, but you can be honest mm-hmm. about that you are
and
doing
that's
your own work.
The nuanced part of it. And I think you put it together beautifully. So we're going to go to Esty in a second. But there's on the chat box, it says talking about the bucket book. So if somebody who knows what they're talking about, just post the link. Apparently there's some book that's helping.
I have the bucket book.
What's the bucket book?
It's downstairs. You want me to go get it?
No. Okay. Just have somebody type in the Amazon link just in case somebody else wants to check it out. We're going to move over to Esty and then maybe Helen and then maybe Anita. So we got a lot of good questions. Hi, Esty.
Hi. So I have a quick question about, maybe it's not quick, sibling dynamics and conflict more specifically. So my middle daughter goes through these periods where she's, when she's struggling, she can get quite nasty and mean, to, particularly to her younger brother, who's 5 and she's 8. And I struggle with how to handle that, both in the moment when it's just, you know, I feel like to be able to support my son while not kind of throwing my daughter under the bus and saying, you know, I try and use language like, you know, we are kind, or we, you know, to try and keep it in a frame of, you know, that that's not a kind choice. Like, I try not to say things like you're being mean or things like that in the moment. Although that's what the boys are saying in the moment, like, she's being so mean and things like that. So, you know, I struggle with what to do in the moment and the language to use and how to support the victim, but also not make it seem like she's being somehow this awful kid, even though in the moment it kind of feels like that. But also how to support her when she's in this funk where she doesn't easily come back out of that and have a desire to you know, do any kind of restitution or apology or anything like that. She's just feeling angry, and it's sort of a thing that continues on over many days as opposed to just a, you know, an episode in a day. And it tends to be something that she just does. This is, you know, she is a long processor of her feelings and also very much struggles with the vulnerability of having, you know, coming back afterwards and saying, you know, sorry, and I, you know, that wasn't a nice thing to do or anything like that. Like, it really, that's real, has always been a very big struggle for her. So sort of, I guess, two parts. It's the in the moment strategies, and then also, you know, how to support her after the fact.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to mute you because I have some questions that Kathy's going to help me answer. So it's funny because it sounds like sometimes her kid gets nasty towards the other kid. And I don't think Esty was saying this, but a lot of times I'm talking to clients or buddies or whatever, and they're like, well, you must say you're sorry. And I want to talk a little bit about apologies and forcing somebody to say they're sorry, because for me, that doesn't work. Do we ever tell our kids to say sorry?
No.
No, because, and the reason, that doesn't mean I don't want them to say they're sorry, but if I'm telling them to say they're sorry, then they're not.
Well, and let me be clear. I the reason I don't say to my kids, you have to go say you're sorry, is because of what I was just telling you guys before. Words, it's not about the words. It's about to say to a child, you need to go say you're sorry. And again, this isn't Esty's question right. Exactly, but can I answer that question?
Sure.
And then we'll do that. Is a statement that I say probably 80 times a week when my girls are having an argument, is I'll say, okay, there's two things happening right now. I say this all the time. There's two things happening. You're feeling like you're not heard, or your sister's yelling at you, and you are feeling really grumpy because she took something from you. Okay, let me use a real example, because you're talking about your children are in a fight. So, you know, you're feeling unheard because you let her borrow something, and you're feeling mad because that's your favorite thing and you don't want her to borrow it. So let me be clear that there's two things happening. So first of all, I hear you. I understand why you're angry. I totally get it. Okay, hold on one second.
She went into your closet and stole your thing.
I
and that's
get it.
Not
cool. I would be mad too. And then I turn to my other daughter and say, the way that this is being handled right now, I know the words that she's saying are super hurtful and she's really angry. And again, you may say, you say this in front of them? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because if you are yelling at someone, if you are like spiraling, then that's not really who my child is 100%. That's part of her. But I feel like I can say she's kind of, you know, and I don't say, oh, she's having a hard time. It's not about, it's, I'm pointing out that they both need me in this moment. There's two things. And you guys, I have 3 kids. Sometimes there's 3 things happening at once. You know what I mean?
Or me.
Sometimes there's 4. And then Smokey, he's
yeah, the rabbit,
getting in the mix.
Forget about it.
And, you know, all things are going on. So there's like, sometimes I have to be like, okay, hold on.
Slow down.
All these things are happening at once, and you make sure that everybody's point of view is acknowledged.
Yeah.
Now, your daughter is the one who's, you know, feels like she's spiraling out of control. And I would say, and again, I know this is difficult in Target and everything, but if you're at home, I would say, you know what? I can tell you're really upset. I know you're annoyed. I can just tell by the words that you're using. Where could you go right now, or what could you do right now that would help you feel better? Or if you already know, go ahead and go and relax in your room, or go ahead and lay on the couch. Or if she gets frustrated by being told what to do, you know, go ahead and relax wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. So get her out of the situation, because if she's in a spiral, you're, like Todd said, you're never going to get her to apologize. It's only going to escalate. So what you want to teach her in the moment is, when you're in this place, get out of this situation the best you can. Meaning take a break. That's what a timeout used to be, you guys. Like, before people screwed up timeouts and made them dunce caps, timeout just used to mean take a break.
Go
learn how to chill.
Take a breath.
And we made them into, go sit there for 2 minutes. You're in trouble. You should feel ashamed. But that's not what a timeout's supposed to be. So teaching our children, you're the thing, like, I feel like I've had to say this to our middle daughter a lot in the last couple of weeks. She loves the feeling of getting angry.
And she can't get angry with her friends.
Right. So she gets angry here.
That would, I don't know, that would have negative impact.
Yeah.
And she knows she's going to be loved in this house.
Yeah.
So it gives her the
power,
platform, the vehicle to let some of the nastiness that we all have inside of us
let it out. Yeah.
And she doesn't, rarely does she give it to us. She usually gives it to one of our other two daughters.
I don't think I've ever gotten it, but I've sure watched it.
Yes. I got it once.
Yeah, you did.
Pretty nasty. But anyways, so, and there's nothing wrong with any of this. Mm-hmm. Our job as parents is to stay present in a chaotic moment. And to Kathy's point, sometimes you have to, like, remove one variable from the situation. Like, if there's a kid that's spiraling, you know what? I'm going to need you to take a break over there. We'll come back. But the other thing that you said that's really important is, we need to make sure, because there's no right or wrong, because whatever they're arguing about, each of them think that they're right. And that is their truth. So we at least need to acknowledge those truths individually. And, like, they want us to decide who's right or who's wrong. We never do that, do we?
No, but I do come back to the person who was, like, the reason I brought up my middle daughter is she's been yelling a lot lately. And so after we get out of that spiral, I'm like, dude, what's up with all the yelling? Like, you know, is there a different way that we can have this conversation? Because last night was exhausting. Like, you know, because I really, and she's pretty honest about it. Like, you know, it just feels good. Or, like, my oldest daughter sometimes tells me to stay out of it because they love to, like, yell back and forth. And they don't get to do that very often. So occasionally I'm like, all right, like, as long as you're not hurting each other.
Well, and sometimes I say, I'm like, where did you learn this from? Because
it's normal human behavior.
I know, sweetie, but I think, because I'm sometimes an idiot, that I felt like I learned all of my bad behaviors from my parents' bad behaviors. And Kathy and I debate, we get into heavy discussions, but we never display the behavior that sometimes our kids display. And I'm like, aren't they not supposed to do this because we don't do it? And the answer is, of course not.
You know what? Have you guys ever seen the movie Enchanted? It was from a long time ago. Amy Adams is in it. She's like a Cinderella character. Patrick Dempsey's in it. I don't know if you haven't seen it, but we watched it again the other night. And something about it that made me laugh is, she's like a storybook character, and she's really nice all the time, and there's birds floating around her all the time, and everything is beautiful. And then there's this moment where she gets frustrated and she starts to get really angry.
That we never saw in a Disney princess movie before.
Right. And he's like, will you say it? And she's like, I'm angry. And it felt so good for her to say. Okay, why this? I know it's a movie, but everything relates to a movie. Everybody feels those feelings, even if they don't see it displayed in their house. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody, so sometimes when we're like, who taught you that? Nobody teaches you anger. You come into the world with that kind of feeling. And anger is a good thing to feel because it tells you a boundary has been crossed for you. Mm-hmm. Anger is not something we have to solve.
It's there to teach you something.
Right.
Something needs to be shifted.
Correct.
That's what the anger is there to teach you. And same as sadness and same as joy, something needs to be celebrated. So each emotion is there to help us. And what we do as parents is sometimes be like, you're angry, you shouldn't be angry. Of course they should be angry. They just got something taken away from them. It's just, how are you going to let that out? And that's where we have to guide them.
And that's like, you're either angry because something happened in front of you right that second, or you were angry about something that happened that morning. And then the person that's more fun to yell at is your sister at night. So even though you're really mad at your girlfriend, you're going to yell at your sister because that's safer. Mm. Or you just have a lot of pent up feelings. And, you know, my girls are an age where they've either gone through puberty or they're, you know, teenagers, and they need to feel it. And this isn't a problem. But what is a problem is if they don't understand how, like, your question is, Esty, is like, how do I support my two children in the process? And then how do I bring her back? That's going to be a learning experience for her whole life, is and letting her know that coming back after you've been angry can be hard and embarrassing. And the worst thing we can do is say, see, that's why you should never get angry. I mean, that's like that's shame. Mm-hmm. That's like, instead, it's like, yeah, when you've yelled at someone, you kind of, you know, think about all of us. We've all yelled at someone and afterwards you feel like an idiot. Mm-hmm. You've literally lost control.
Feel good in the moment.
Yeah.
And then
you feel horrible.
30 seconds or 30 minutes
or the next
30
day,
days later, something happens and it makes you realize it didn't really do much good.
So then what we want to teach our kids is, yeah, the way you feel is normal. And what resiliency means is, how do we come back? And again, I think we're talking so generally. I'm not sure if we're helping you.
I'm going to bring her back
okay.
in. Are you there, Esty?
Yeah, no, I mean, it all makes a lot of sense. I like the idea of saying there's two things going on here, because I think that kind of helps separate them and still acknowledges that there's two experiences happening. I think part of the struggle that I've been having is because I think it's like you described, Kathy, that her anger is not about him. It's
right.
about other stuff that she,
correct.
He's the easy kid to take it out on. And so, you know, he's truly like a victim in the circumstance, which is,
yes.
you know, somewhat heartbreaking in the moment. And also, you know, she clearly demonstrates the pleasure of being able to vent that in the moment. So it feels awful to watch, you know,
yes.
she's smiling. She's doing it right. It's really horrendous. And so, you know, I think that's a really, that strategy will help in the moment for sure. Yeah. And it's the aftermath stuff that I think is just, I think I have to take that long view that you're describing of, you know, this is a learning that's going to happen over a long time. It's not, each circumstance doesn't have to prove that it's played out the way that we would hope.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you might have, it's hard to kind of hold everybody's seat in that moment, Esty. And it's important for you to maintain your cool as best you can. But then it's important for us as parents to be able to release our stuff from absorbing some of that energy, don't you think?
But not on them.
Not on them, but figure out a way, whether it's talking to your partner or going for a walk. Like, you do need to kind of let that out, because if all you're doing is taking all this, you know, heavy energy in,
for sure,
might be tough. So that's just an element of self-care. So okay, hopefully that helped a little bit. Now we're going to move over to Anita, because Helen, because she's awesome, moved her spot one, because Anita's was more about parenting and Helen's is about her girlfriend.
Okay.
But hopefully we can get to Helen too.
Okay.
So hang on a second. Anita, you there?
I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So, hi. So this is regarding my 14-year-old daughter, and she got caught skipping class. So this was last week. The school is giving her detention. She has to make up. And the class that she was skipping, and she skipped like 3 or 4 times, was their end of day study period.
Mm.
I think she was going along. She kind of changed friend groups recently, about 4 or 5 weeks now. She's kind of been friends with this new girl and this new group, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to support that, because she seems to be needing a little bit more action, a little bit more excitement in her social, you know, she's coming out of her shell. She's more, you know, she's always been very adventurous. So, but getting caught and having this happen, she's super full of anxiety. And I'm realizing that she has anxiety. She's always been kind of a, you know, very caring about everything around her, but she's getting overwhelmed. And so she's been having to do the detention. They have cameras at the school. I got a call saying that they questioned something about pills that someone was taking at school. And so anyway, I'm just trying to figure out with this friend how to support her. I obviously cannot control who my daughter wants to choose to be friends with, and I wouldn't ever tell her to stop being friends with somebody. It seems that this other new girl is kind of struggling. She may have meds in her locker. She may be giving them to other kids. I'm not entirely sure. I have this information. I don't know what my daughter knows about her as a friend. So I guess my question is, you know, I want to support her in her friendships. And I want to support her in her anxiety, because she comes home and she's super stressed. She tells me all the stuff that's going on, and then she just like runs off. So I'm here for her, but then she just, you know, she gets overwhelmed. She doesn't want to say much. We try to come back and talk about things together, but it seems like there's just too much going on, like with the skipping class and then the, you know, being questioned about taking a pill, which I know she took like Motrin or something because she was on her period at school, whatever. But the friendships, the anxiety, and but I want her to also feel the consequences of her actions, and I want, but I also want her to know I got your back. So it's like that fine line between supporting her, letting her live her choices, you know. So yeah, that's my question. Is
okay.
Nice. All right, I just muted you. So you're in a dance with this, with your daughter, and it's the, you want her to, you know, deal with the consequences of some of these mistakes she's made, while at the same time having her back, like, you know, welcome to the club. You know, kids screw up and that's what happens. And, you know, I would say, you know, whenever I get stuck in the nuance between should I make sure that she has to deal with some of these consequences, or do I want to make sure that she feels loved and supported? If I'm stuck, you know, there's sometimes where I'm like, no, this is your screw up. You got to own it. You got to go to detention, and that's just the way it is. And that, but if I'm ever stuck in between, I almost always try to err on the side of support and love and all that other stuff. So, and you know, the fact that it seems like you're dealing with a lot of half information regarding the pills and everything, I don't want you to kind of keep your head buried in the sand, but until you know something for sure, I don't think that you can do anything about that, can you?
Well, yeah, because it's a story and there's nothing to do. I would say that, you know, I like what Todd said about it, that it's a dance. I think there's really nothing happening, meaning I know things happened, but the consequence has already been imposed. You stand by what the consequence is, but you don't need to... I think sometimes when our kids are in trouble, what we do is we are like, well, you're in trouble, so I'm, you know, we may not say I'm disappointed in you, but we're kind of like, so there's this like withholding that we do love-wise, or personality-wise. We're not fun with them anymore. We're not funny with them. We're kind of demonstrating our disappointment through our lack of
love.
And I don't believe you ever need to do that. If my daughter did something and she was had a detention or a tardy, or she got a tardy or whatever, and they had a detention, you better believe she has to go to that detention. I'm not going to keep her from that. You have to go to detention. You skipped. But I also then a second later can be like, you know, how's detention? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to withhold my love. I don't need to be the school. I don't need to be the teacher. I'm her mother. Now, if she did something wrong, deal with the consequence. Like, this is part of, but I guess my point to you is you're already saying, actually, everything you said, it sounds like you're doing really well.
I agree.
Like, I don't think there's anything you need to change.
I agree.
I think the only thing you need to acknowledge is that, first of all, I'm so glad she comes and tells you things, even if she's like swirling dervish and then leaves, at least she's telling you. And you can let, having a child's back, and I think you know this because you said this, doesn't mean you keep them from consequences. It doesn't mean you save them from every negative situation. If my children are dealing with something, I'm like, dude, that was your, that's your thing. Like, I'm not getting involved. But I then don't need to punish them more through my behavior. Mm-hmm. I can still be like, let's still have dinner and talk about the movie we're going to watch. Like, I don't need to change. Mm-hmm. But there's still, I'm not going to save them from their own choices.
Did you say swirling?
Swirling dervish.
What is that?
I don't even know. What's a swirling dervish?
It sounds made up. It's made up.
I got to look it up.
Swirling dervish?
You know where I got it?
No, I don't.
I've heard it before in literature, but Michelle Obama said it recently about Barack.
While you look it up, I'm going to ask Anita. So Anita, how do you think, because I thought Kathy gave pretty good advice, because I remember my parents withholding love when I screwed up, and it just made me feel like total crap. And I've probably done it to my kids too. So I guess I invite you to be honest. Like, how do you think you did?
Well, I had to think about it before I responded, because the way that we actually found out was she got caught skipping last Friday. She didn't tell us all weekend, and I got a call from the school on Monday. So I had this information, and I had to be like, how do I, and my husband has been out of town on top of things. So I was like, I'm glad that I chose to not impose an extra consequence, which I may have done, you know, a couple of years ago, but now I'm like, well, no, the school decided she had to do detention all her lunches this week.
Yeah.
So that's enough. That's enough. And why did this happen? And ask questions and try to listen and understand. So yep,
that's it. And that is, you aren't, and again, for people who are thinking, well, that's really permissive. The consequence is there. She knows what she has to do. And you can, like, for example, I got a text, I don't know, like a month or so ago about something that Cameron didn't turn in. And I texted her and I'm like, why am I getting texts from your teacher about something you didn't turn in? This should have nothing to do with me. Like, you turn this in and like, I don't, you know, like, why is it like, I could question her and demonstrate like, this is frustrating. It's not that you can't share how you're feeling, but like her consequence is, you know, if she's like, well, will you tell them or text my teacher and say, I'll turn it in later? No, like, I'm not going to do that. But so it's like, we don't have to then be like, now you're grounded because I got this text. It's like, now what you have to do is, you know, finish this. You have to complete this process. And I have even come back and said, did you complete that process? You know, like, that's, I don't want to be getting texts from your school. Like, I want you to manage your school and your life. And if you need help, you know, let me know. But I don't, when the school is bringing me in on stuff, it's like, let's have, that's what we need to talk about is, am I missing something? Is a class too hard? Like, this is any kind of challenge opens up a ball of questions. Mm-hmm. Like, if my daughter was getting a bunch of F's in a class, I'd be like, is this class too difficult? Because we could change it for sure. That's easy to do. Is the teacher, like, at the beginning of the year, we found out the teacher was really intimidating one of my daughters. So it's like,
she intimidates me. I saw her in the office the other day and I got scared. Me.
Yeah. So I was like, let's talk about that. Like, it really, and again, we sound like such a broken record, but everything that happens, even the bad stuff, is an opportunity for how do we realign, you know, like, you know, like, I agree with Todd, like, you don't know what's going on with that pill. So try not to get, you know, until you have more information, but about the detention.
No, and I got information from the school about this other girl that the lady said, this is confidential. You're not supposed to know this, but there's stuff that I know. And so I wonder, and then you said there's nothing to do, but, you know, is my daughter getting sucked into something else with another girl that I don't know who may be manipulating her? Because my daughter's very positive. She sees the best in people and she'll defend her new friend who she's trying to, like, you know, get along with. And so the friendship side of it, like the school side, the tension and all, that's fine. But the friendship side is like, well, you know what? I can invite this girl over and say, you know, try and get her to know her, have your friend over, try to, right? Because they reach high school and elementary, I knew all the friends, I knew all the parents, but now it's like, who are these people? Yeah. Who's raising them? You know, and that's the world we live in. But I want to, there's still that protection that I want to, you know, like, are you getting influenced in a bad way? But what are the values I've instilled in her so she can decide for herself?
I'm going to give you advice that may not help. The answer is you just stay connected to her in any way you know how. And, you know, obviously if something comes to your attention that is very, very serious and scary, then yeah, then you got to kind of go further to the other side and like maybe put yourself, interject yourself into the situation a little bit more. But if it's smaller, then I feel like even sometimes our kids get attracted to kids that I wish they wouldn't be friends with. But I say to myself, these friends are here to teach. Like, one of my daughters has a friend that just doesn't treat her very kindly. And I said to her, I said, Sky, you know, instead of me doing, I'm sorry. I said, instead of telling her, oh, just don't be friends with that girl. Like, that's stupid. Be like, your friend is teaching you how it feels. And that when you get an opportunity to kind of mistreat somebody, you're going to know what it's like to be mistreated. So in a way that this person is a teacher for your kid. And, you know, and it just depends on how severe.
And I think she knows that because she said, I'm trying to support her in this friendship. Like, I think she knows But what I would say is it's also okay to say, you know, tell me about what this friendship does for you. Like, how does it make you feel? Like, how does, that's too much of a therapy question. What do you like about her? You know, like, tell me, because I've had lots of different friends in my life too, and they are all there for different reasons. And what is it? Is it that she's kind of a thrill seeker? Is it like really open it up to, and it sounds like maybe you've already done that. Now, what I will say is you were just saying, you know, I want to invite her over and get to know her better. You don't have to do that, Anita. If my girls are with somebody that they call their friend, and I'm kind of like, this may not be the best for the future, I'm never going to tell them they can't be friends with them, but I'm not going to personally promote it. Meaning your heart is in the wrong, your heart is in the right place because you're like, I want to support this girl and support my daughter. And if she comes over or she's having a party and she wants to invite her, I totally get that. But don't feel like you have to insert yourself and demonstrate how you're trying to get to know this girl. You don't have to do
that. Well, at the same time, sometimes I catch myself prejudging before I know all the information. And some of my daughters have made these friends and I'm like, oh, I don't like her just because of something superficial. And then I get to know this person and all of a sudden I'm surprised. I'm like, wow, I really dig this girl. And I'm so glad that she's friends with my daughter. Right. So,
well, but her experience is that this girl has gotten her in trouble and that the nurse or someone at the school knows that the girl has a lot of issues.
And is it possible that this same girl is actually a beautiful person that has wonderful gifts that are going to give to this?
Absolutely.
Young...
But we're going to have a side note here.
This is called a podcast.
This is the middle area is that could all be true. And her daughter may know that and the girl, but she doesn't have to then be the savior of this girl and invite her over. And you know what I mean? Like sometimes we insert ourselves too much.
I thought Anita was saying like, maybe I just don't know this girl that well. And maybe if she was around,
yeah,
I would know her, as opposed to,
for me to try to,
I want to fix this girl. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, and then I guess it's so nuanced. Like, absolutely. If you've already done it or it feels right, do it. Like, I would never say don't. Like, it's not a right or wrong. What it is your daughter's life. So you don't have to figure out why you like this girl because it's really not your life. It's your daughter's life. So, yeah. But if, you know, that's what I mean is sometimes we're like, I'm going to invite all the kids over and get to know, like, that's not our life. Like, if you want to do that because you feel like your daughter's getting in trouble a lot, you want to like have a conversation with them or I don't know. I just like, I'm thinking about our daughters and the struggles they've had with certain girls. And I don't then try and get involved where I get to know those girls better. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like,
well, and you know, this is where Kathy and I are a little bit different. And this is kind of a side note, but I like this morning, my kids take the bus and on Fridays I'm in charge of taking Cameron to school. I deliberately asked my oldest daughter, who's a sophomore, can I drive you to school instead of take the bus? And it's because I love her and her friends, and I love the interaction, and it's how I stay connected to my JC's world, is because JC is very different when her friends are in the car, mm-hmm. in a good way, not like in a mean way. So,
but the thing is, so do I. I love being with her friends, but I am not going to be like, JC, invite your friends over so I can hang out and get to know them better. That happens naturally. Do you know what I mean?
Right. But sometimes you have to like move a little bit to get to know, because otherwise, how am I going to spend any time with JC and her friends unless I decide to go say, I'll drive you in the carpool today, as opposed to, oh, you just take the bus. And I'm wondering if Anita has some of the same experiences. Like, well, if I don't do this, then there's no way I'm going to be able to, you know, support my daughter and kind of get an idea of who this girl might be.
Yeah, I can totally hear that. I mean, if that is the case, I can totally hear that. And really, you already know, because you know what I mean? Like, you don't need our advice on that part. You already know. If you're like, no, I want to invite her over, you know. And I'm just kind of inserting my own,
yeah,
you know, personal opinion.
Sweetie and I don't always agree, by the way.
Well, and I, you know, like that's the thing. It's like me driving the girls. I do it all the time. I'm with my children's friends all the time. So I don't feel like I need to create new opportunities. Now, Todd.
I know, but she's getting her license next week.
Totally get it. Like that's the thing is, who knows? Once my daughter's driving on her own, I may be like, hey, have a party so I can see all your friends. Like, I don't know what I'll be like.
I remember when I was a little kid, and then we got to close up because it's 1 o'clock. I loved my friends' parents, yeah, and I loved seeing them.
Yeah.
And then we got to be 16, and then we were driving and we were picking each other up, and then we went to college. And I really miss Marty's parents and Charlie's parents.
Yeah,
and
I get it.
So anyways.
I get it. I mean, and my daughter's friends listen to our show. Like mm-hmm. they think they know us, you know? So we have that kind of, it's easier. I guess it's easier for me to lay back and be like, hey, because they know us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's already that connection. So I'm like, that's already done. But if I had a different line of work and I never saw my girls' friends, I may do exactly what you're doing, Anita, yeah. which is say, come over so I can get to know you better. So I think you're doing all the right things.
Okay. So I'm going to mute Anita and we're going to wrap up here. So a few announcements. One is it's the Masters this weekend. And I just remembered that. It's the Masters.
Great.
So everybody turn on CBS and watch this amazing golf tournament. And it's the first major of the year. And it's really exciting. Can anybody raise your hand if you agree that it's an exciting tournament? 1, 2, 3, 4. So all the rest of you guys got to figure out that it's an exciting tournament because they're wrong and I'm right.
Green jackets.
It's about the green jacket on Sunday afternoon.
Todd made me play golden tee last weekend. It was really boring.
I invited you to play golden tee and you accepted the invitation and I told you what to do. Like I'm telling her, okay, you got a club down and you got the wind. And
he's like, we're going to do back, flip, 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 flip. And then we're going to go click. And then you got to go here. I'm like, this is a game because all you're doing is like telling the computer what to do. And you're like.
And I won.
Correct.
That's the important thing. And we actually played golden tee before we got married, I think. And you told me that you didn't want any help. So I let you do it by yourself. And I beat you by like 25 strokes and you got mad at me.
Yeah, because that was ridiculous. Like once you're beating me by 10, it's like maybe stop or like let's play a new game rather than that's like, you know, the games where you see them play like the lacrosse game where they're killing them by 12 points and they're like, yeah, I'm going to keep playing just as hard.
So what you're asking me to do then is to deliberately not do well.
Oh my God. We've been having this conversation for 20 years.
We got to figure it out.
I don't know what I wanted. All I know is I had 2 glasses of wine and you were driving me crazy because you needed to win so bad. And I was like, this is not fun for anyone but you. Remember that?
It wasn't fun for me either because you were pissed. There's nothing worse
when
you're on.
No, you were having fun until I said,
until you got
why
pissed.
Are you killing me at this game? And are you really enjoying winning by so many points? Is this fun? And you were like, ugh. It was, you know.
Is that what I said? All right. So that's my first announcement was the Masters. The second one, Dawn, who's part of Team Zen, has started a micro community. So she has a child who is differently wired. And she wants to get any other parents that are on Team Zen that are interested in having this micro community. Nikki's actually on it. I don't know if Nikki's still here. There she is. So if anybody else is interested, shoot me an email and I'll get you hooked up with Dawn.
That's on Sunday, right?
That's on Sunday at, I don't know what time 3? It is, something like that. And then there's a survey that's going to be coming out to you guys because we're going to, in the next week or two, because we're going to try to do a better job of meet the needs of all you Team Zen members. And then lastly, here's our Team Zen water bottle. It's my favorite water bottle I have, and I have a bunch of them. And we're giving this to everybody who has been with us for a year. So I have my list. Megan Edwards, Teresa Patton, Sarah Both, Lauren Leinenbach, Amber Kennedy Miller, Amy Rose, Tony Molina, Rose Widman, Christine Gibson, Colleen Forbes, Carney Griffin, John Steele, Kelsey Holt, Maggie Ward, Dawn Dockey, Angela McGuire, Patty Harlampoudis, Kelly Morrissey, and Sue Kilbride. You're going to get one of these in the mail in the next week or so. And if you if you've been with us longer than a year and you don't get that, let me know. But this is what I got from Brad. These are the people that have been with us.
And everyone who's at the conference already got there.
They already got there. Yeah. So anyways, and then that's it. We're going to, and Judy says it's an awesome water bottle.
It is.
It is an awesome water bottle. We're going to be back 2 weeks from today, 12 o'clock Central.
Yes, and we've been drinking celery juice lately. Is anybody else?
We got a juicer, and we're juicing it up. Juicing it up. What's the next line?
I don't know.
No, from the Barry Gibb talk show.
I know, but I'm not in the mood. I'm tired. I had a long week. I'm glad it's Friday.
Sweetie, tell them about what happened to
your face
today.
One more thing, and then
we'll
go. I was putting the garbage out today, and it's really windy in Chicago, and I put everything in the garbage can, and then I bent over to pick something up, and the garbage can lid smacked me in the face so hard. I've never been hit in the face. Like, I've never gotten in a fight. And I was like, that's what it feels like to be smacked in the face. I'm going to have a bruise all the way down my face. But I'll still show up for life.
That stinks, sweetie.
I know. We'll let everybody go now.
And Alyssa said we should talk about Helen's question on Facebook. So, yeah, Helen, put on your question on Facebook and people will join in.
If it's about a friend, Helen, happy to help. I'll write it on Facebook and I'll write
something. Yeah, it doesn't have to be parenting questions.
No.
So
Team Zen is about you. You can talk about yourself, your parents, your kids, your whatever.
Oops. I'm gonna unmute everybody. Just unmute everybody. Everybody say goodbye. Adios.
Bye.
See you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Keep trucking.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Hey.